Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Today we got the one and only Cash Page. How you feeling?
K-Pizzle, my G. I'm feeling good. I'm pretty high right now. I had to put out the blunt.
Are you really?
Yeah.
That's not a blunt. That's a fucking joint.
I'm from Texas, so I just call them blunts. I call everything a blunt? Yeah.
Really?
I mean, I can't. I just don't want to be like, oh, yeah, I just put out the joint. Like, I'll say it, but the
joint
first
sounds
thing
cool, too.
I feel like blunt just sound more alive.
Yeah, it sounds more alive, but it's not. Like, it's a blunt because it comes from a blunt rap. I take issue with this.
Either way it go, I'm getting high.
She's trying to change shit up on me right here. Wow. Okay. So you're from Dallas. Talk to us about it a little bit. For people who don't know, you've been out here. You consider yourself, well, I could ask like 10 questions at once. You consider yourself a singer or a rapper, primarily?
I'm going to say an artist.
Yeah.
On some shit. Like, because it's like, I don't know. I feel like I can do anything. When I'm with my homies, if I'm just vibing and I want to sing, that's the type of vibe I'm going to go for. But if I want to rap and I'm turnt, then niggas going to turn up in the stew. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to just set a vibe and just like make some either some pop shit, some alternative rock shit or whatever.
Right. Okay. So let's just go to the beginning though. So I don't know. I'm a little all over the place. I feel like my brain is a little fried right now. But okay. So talk to me about your upbringing in Dallas and how you ended up making music and getting interested in all this.
It's crazy because like in Dallas, man, I ain't started going to the studio till like last year.
Really?
Like, yeah, because in high school, my mom ain't let me go. I had to like sneak to the studio and say like I was going with my friends out to eat.
So she didn't want you making music, or she thought you were getting some other shit at the studio? A lot of girls, when they go to the studio, it's not really about music per se, you know?
I was on the hoes, I'll say that. But it was more like not trusting the people I was around. You know, like she'd be like, people are going to steal your music. You can't trust everybody. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
I just want to record.
You think she made you a little paranoid with that sort of thing? Like people are going to steal your music.
She made me super paranoid. But at the same time, it was like, shit, I don't care. Whoever steal the hell and blow it up. Shit, fuck it.
Right.
I just wanted to get out and record. That was just my main goal. And it was like last year, whenever I start like getting out of my shell, I can go more.
So your shell, you mean like the shell that she sort of had you in, or were you just shy?
No, the show that she had me in, I ain't shy at all. I'm too bold.
You were never like that?
I was shy as a kid, but it was more me being shy because I wanted to be like liked. You know, like growing up, you don't know what crowd you fit in at first. So it's like, do I want to be with the cool kids, or what are the cool kids? You know, like, are they the bullies, or are they like the people that really just don't say too much? And I kind of just tried to fit in everywhere that I could.
That's a fucked up thing about being young, is that a lot of times the cool kids are just like the meanest kids.
Yes.
Because they're able to sort of like push themselves to the top of the social pyramid, I guess.
Facts. But it's like, it's crazy now that all the cool kids that just like pick on me, like they stream my music. They be like, I love you, or let's smoke when you in the city. Like, nigga, we didn't even smoke in high school.
Right.
Like,
I love when people want to just smoke.
Facts.
Like they got to like save up all week for some weed and then they want to celebrate it with you. It's like, motherfucker, I'm smoking whenever the fuck I feel it. And it's a
24/7.
It's a pandemic. I'm not passing the blunt to you in this fucking trying time.
Yeah, I feel like it makes me paranoid whenever I'm smoking with somebody and they just start coughing real hard. I'm like, damn, like, what you got going on over there? Like, are you sick or what?
I changed my attitude on smoking up. I'm like, I'm going to roll a blunt. If you need some weed, like for my friends who don't have that much weed or money, like if you need some weed, I'll give you some weed or a wood even. But I'm smoking my blunt, and if you guys want to smoke, then you can smoke. But I'm not really trying to, like, you know, swap spit. And really, even in a non-pandemic time, I think this is kind of a disgusting tradition that we should maybe consider letting go.
Facts. I mean, it just... Okay, so my thing about that, being in a hot box, I'm that friend that's always gonna have different types of gas because I want to get you the highest. It's okay. Like, okay, so I got Gorilla Glue and I got Pineapple Express or I got Blue Dream. I'm gonna roll three of them hoes up. So it's like, I'm just gonna like get you like very high. Like, if I trust you and I know you're not really moving around like that, I'll pass you the blunt.
You love weed on a level that not many people seem to.
Man, I love weed just because it's like, I think it's the like a euphoric feeling of just feeling super joyful all the time or just goofy. I'm goofy 24/7, but I feel like when you high, it's times 10 for real.
But so you're not the type of person that like wakes up and smokes a blunt and then you feel a little groggy and maybe your day is not as productive as a result?
Nah. No. I feel like I wake up and I'll wake and bake, just listen to some Isaiah Rashad or like some Mac Miller and just start off my day. I can't even talk right now. I'm that high.
No, that's dope. But I mean, I feel like a lot of people have that. And even for me, it's like I don't usually wake up and face a blunt. Normally, I need to like do something before I feel like that's an okay decision.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm talking about like wake and bake as in I already then brushed my teeth, already then took a shower and did all that. I feel like it's just like rejuvenating. Yeah, like I earned it. Like I just woke my ass up. Let me just go ahead and, you know, roll me something up and just smoke and just vibe out and go wherever the fuck I'm gonna go or just like chill in my crib.
Well, that's interesting though. Do you wake up with a plan?
To be honest, I used to wake up with a plan, but then I learned to just live life how it is and just go with the flow. Because I feel like when you have a plan, it's like when shit don't go your way, you get irritated.
That's interesting because like for such a long period of time in my life, I didn't really have like a set schedule. And now it feels like every day I'm just waking up and there's already a list of shit that I got to do. And like,
well, you're Adam 22.
Yeah. But you know, like, it's like I got shit that I got to handle like almost every day. And then sometimes, like a couple weeks ago, I had a week, no interviews the whole week. However it worked out, there just nobody was around or whatever, and there was no interviews that whole week. I spent the whole fucking week just feeling like what am I doing? Like, am I doing
you feel
enough?
Like a bum, right?
I felt weird because I didn't have like my normal thing that I'm used to doing.
I'd be feeling like a bum when I'm not doing nothing. I'd be like, damn, bro, like I ain't gonna be shit. Yeah. That just be my head, just downing myself because it's like, what are you doing? Like, make today a better day than yesterday or whatever.
Right.
So I always try to like keep my day productive. If it's like writing something or just like, shit, hanging out with my family, quality time.
But then sometimes you'll hang out with, like, you know, I'm 36. Sometimes you'll be around people who are moving at a different speed, and you sort of realize, like, oh, shit, like, they're going to, like, kick it and party until 5 in the morning, and I don't have the same luxury because I have something I got to do at 8 in the morning, you know? And it's, like, that can be kind of weird. Like, it's very, that's a great period in your life when you could just do whatever and have fun whenever.
Hell, yeah. It just depends because sometimes I'll be getting tired. I'll be like, let me just go home.
Right.
I just can't kick it all the time.
I was at Blueface's crib. There's like 15 girls there. We were all hanging out. We're all drinking and smoking. And then I look at my phone. It's 10 p.m. I'm like, oh, my. 10 p.m. I got to go, guys. Come on.
Damn, you went home at 10?
Yes. This is how old I am now.
Home at 10 and this hoe's at the house. You tripping. You got at least
my girl's
stay
9 months
12.
Pregnant. So for the record, it wasn't like a normal like, okay, oh, there's some bitches here and I'm a single guy.
Congrats,
you know,
too.
We did kind of. Thank you. I appreciate it. We were talking about that. I'm like, how different would tonight have been if we were all single?
Crazy.
It would have been pretty weird. I would have actually probably felt bad. Like, Blueface puts all these girls in a house that we just come through and not I don't know what would happen. But
you would have stolen.
It would have been something. I don't know. But okay, so talk to me about how you got into making music. Did you have that idea since like a super young age, or when did that come into your brain?
Yeah, I always wanted to do music because I heard my dad and, you know, the closet. We had like a little studio in the closet and he'd just be playing beats and just making music and I'd be like, damn, what is that? So I was curious one day.
He was rapping?
Nah, my dad's a singer, but he was just more making music for other people and mixing their stuff.
Really?
Yeah, so I just went in there. I was like, what is this? And he was just like, I'm just making music. And I was like, I want to do it. And he, you know, he would put me on the track, but I was never consistent.
At
I
like
ran,
what age though did you start to want to do it?
I think like when I was like seven or eight, but it was more like I was in summer track. I was really fast. I wanted to go to the Olympics. That was my whole goal.
Oh, wow, really?
And yeah, like we used to be in the summer hot as hell under tents, just eating pickles.
In Dallas, running as fast as you possibly could during the summer. and then for some reason
cheating
eating
like
pickles. Yeah, wow, that sounds intense.
Pickles are good for you.
I
especially
hate pickles.
You don't like pickles?
It's one of the only foods I won't eat.
Nah, come to Texas. You got to get some fried pickles.
I'm
they
pretty,
fire
oh,
with
no, no,
ranch.
No, yeah. I've had fried pickles, and I will admit that those are a little bit more tolerable, but only
because
so
that's like
you,
an oxymoron.
But you don't taste the pickle. You taste the fucking fried shit on the outside.
Okay.
And then you dip it in ranch. Okay, here's something else I know tastes amazing. Okay.
Okay. I'll give you that one. Look.
Right.
You'll get 5 cool points for that.
So you were running.
Yeah.
And then.
And it was just like, this is what I want to do. But I also want to do music because I loved how it sounded. And I remember not knowing how to go about it because I wanted to be in a group. I felt like in my era, it was like Mindless Behavior, OMG Girls, New Boys. Like, it was just different, you know, groups. I was like, damn, like, that shit fly. Like, I'll do music, but only if I can do it with my cousins or my friends.
Because then you can rely on other people, and you don't need to have a fully developed, like, identity for yourself as an artist if you can kind of rely on these other people.
Exactly. And it's more fun because it's like I'm doing it with my homies. Mm. And it was just like, nah, nobody was ever serious with it. So I ended up doing it, like, my sophomore year because I seen everybody dropping music. Like, around that time, I was still finding myself. I was a follower, but I knew I was cold at music. So I was like, damn, I'm about to just drop a rap song with my homie, and that's what we're going to do. So we dropped the rap song. I was like, it was like singing rap a little bit. Uh-huh. Dropped it, and everybody at the school was singing at her, and I was like, bet, I'm going to drop a singing song now. And I dropped it before I turned 16, and bro, it was going crazy as hell at the school. Wow, so, like, really? Everybody started knowing me from music, but everybody used to know me from dancing.
Uh-huh. Okay, so, like, did your parents encourage you in any particular way to have that confidence about music? Because I feel like that's one thing that so many people are just sort of born, like, even people who really want to make music, it mm-hmm. takes them a long time to sort of get into that mentality of believing in themselves. You seem like you are really confident. You seem really confident right now as well. Like, do you think your parents sort of set you up for that?
No, my parents kind of had already had my life planned out. It was school and, you know, sports and college. Mm-hmm. So when they realized that I want to do music, like, as I started getting older, it was kind of like, you know, that's dope, and we know you can do music, but that doesn't work out for everybody. Mm. And I remember just like, nah, I don't want to go back to work. So I graduated high school 2 years early. Like, I just didn't want to do shit. I was like, I want to do music, and I know it's going to pop me off, and I just believed in myself and shit. That's pretty much all that really happened. Like, I remember getting a call from Def Jam, and my life changed. Like, my mom was, like, telling me go sign up for, like, classes and shit. And I was like, nah, I feel like something's gonna happen.
So this is, like, the very end of high school when you got that call?
Yeah, I got it, like, probably a few months afterwards. Like, wow. I graduated high school. Literally, the day after I graduated from high school, I ran away from home. Because my mom thought I smoked in the house.
Oh, shit. What, but you were really just stanking from smoking somewhere else?
And I'm trying to tell her. She's like, you lying. And I'm like, bro, I'm not finna lie. Like, damn, I already told you I smoked. Like, I'm not finna add extra shit. So, well, after that, she was like, you can't do music no more. Da-da-da. I was like, fuck that. Took my shit, and I ran away. And I ran away for a week. And it's crazy. I ran away, and I ended up at fucking Commerce, like, at a college. And she found where I was because, mind you, I be dancing. I was on somebody's Snapchat jigging and shit, and she was like, oh, there she is, and, like,
and
was posting me on Twitter.
And your mom found it
on
there?
Yes,
what
bro.
The fuck?
I'm in that hole, like, everybody like, hey, I'm like, hey.
Wow, your mom sounds really resourceful. My mom would have never, on a Snapchat, that's crazy.
Bro, my mom put out a whole ass Amber Alert.
Oh, no, really?
Yes, bro.
Like, everybody that you know got it on their phone
bro.
And
everybody
shit?
Everybody thought I was missing on Twitter, bro.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What?
I just seen DMs like, bro, I'm praying. I hope you see. I'm like, bro, I'm partying right now. Like, I just don't have my fucking phone.
Right. Okay, so then what? Your mom pulls up to the party and just
it gets
drags
worse.
You out of the party?
Bro, it gets worse. So I wake up in the morning. I see text and stuff, and they're like, yo, your mom knows you're here. I feel like you should leave Commerce. I'm like, bet. So I leave Commerce, and I go right back to, like, Dallas, like, Arlington area. Bro, I'm texting my homie, like, can you take me to Houston to my sister's house? And he like, yeah, I got you. Bro, this dude literally went back and told my mama where I was. My mama pulled up and got me.
He snitched on you to your mom?
Yes, bro.
Wow, what the fuck? You got to reconsider who you're hanging out with.
I feel like you can say it, like, both ways. Like, reconsider or just, like, thank him, too.
Yeah, there's
it's like,
that, too, yeah.
But at the time, I was like, damn, you a snake, bro. You're a rat. I was so mad. Like, I really wanted to stay away and not want to go back home.
Right. So what happens when you link up with your mom again? Because at this moment, like, you're in that position where it's like you're 18, like you're about to either be leaving the house or whatever. Like, what is your mom really gonna tell you?
It was like, it was just, I had tried to jump the fence. She had tried to like run and get me and shit. And they were just like, where have you been? And I was like, I just been here, like just chilling. I want to do music. Like that was just my whole thing. Like, I want to do music. That's the only thing I could say. And it kind of was weird when I got back. I thought I was going to get a whooping and just like be in more trouble. Nah, like they took me out to eat, gave me back my phone. And they were just like, you know, we were scared. And she kind of started getting more supportive. And like, we started kind of getting a little bit more close. Mm. And I don't know. I remember she was just like, yo, I know you want to do music, but you need to be in school. And that's like kind of when I started like believing in myself more, like, nah, like manifesting it, kind of speaking it into existence every single day.
But you don't feel like you were the type of person that was going to be able to manage school and music? Like, because in my mind, that's what I would want for my kid, is like, if you have something you're passionate about, cool, but you have to like be able to get your actual duties done, and then you can focus all your other time on this thing you're passionate about. But I also know from being a kid that it is like incredibly hard to like divvy up your attention when you're really nuts about something.
Facts. It was just like school just wasn't my thing. Mm. I loved, you know, class and being social, and you know, sometimes I love my assignments. Like I was cool in chemistry, I was cool in history, but it was just like going to college, that wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to do music and do whatever the fuck I wanted to do, if that makes sense. And it kind of just happened for me. Like I remember this day like it was yesterday. My mom was texting me and my homies was going out to some shit called Penn Stacks. She was like, you need to go home, you need to apply for college, you need to get a job. I'm like, I don't know, something's gonna happen. I don't feel like I should get one, and that's just that. And she was like, well, you need to take your ass home. And I'm like, I just got here. And she was like, nah, I need to go home. Mm-hmm. Seeing this old couple, not really old, probably like 30. And I'm like, you know, 18 at the time. I walk in, they're like staring at me, and I'm like, bro, like, what the fuck? Because I was just on SoundCloud. I wasn't on Apple, no nothing. They were like, this might be weird, but is your name Cash? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, oh my gosh, we're big fans, can we take a picture with you? And I'm like, bro, like that was my first moment of feeling like, you know, somebody. And I was like, bro, it's this feeling. I had a gut feeling that my life was finna change. She still texts me like, go home. I'm like, bet, fuck it. My homegirl called me an Uber. I'm talking to the Uber driver, and you know, I'm sad a little bit, so she talking to me. And I was like, I just want to do music, you know. My mom just won't let me do music, and you know, that's my passion. And she was just like, understand where your mom's coming from. She's being protective. And I was just like, nah, like something finna happen. I don't know what it is, but I'm gonna do music. Got home. Remember, I was chilling with my homeboy the next day, and that's when Def Jam called me.
And it was crazy as fuck. Like,
yo, you're dope. My name's Tavis Chagwe. I'm from Def Jam Recording. Yo, I wanna fly you out to New York tomorrow. I was like, huh? I'm like, stop playing on my phone. Nah. I DM'd your manager. I DM'd you. Y'all won't respond back. Like, I want to work. I'm like, bet. So I call my mom. My mom's like, that shit fake or whatever. I'm like, nah. I'm like, nah, it's real. I'm like, I'm like, search him up, everything. I'm like, I'm going to New York. Mm. I'm going to New York. I don't know what it is, but I'm going. And she was like, all right, we going to search him up. And then if we see if he legit, we'll let you go. So they seen it was legit. We fly out the next day, and it was crazy. It was just like, he was so cool. Uh-huh. I'm also, I was into like knowing that they were gonna be on some, you need to record. Nah, we went to the movies, we chilled, he got to know me. And like, I always, you know, like fuck what my A&Rs have. Like, that's like the realest nigga ever.
That's dope. So you signed like then, or did you take a little while to sign?
I signed like probably 3 months. 4 months like later, but it was just like building that relationship and knowing that it wasn't how everybody perceived, you know, industry to be. It was like, we're gonna put you in the studio and that's all you're gonna be doing. Like, they want to take music, because that's what my parents would tell me. Like, they, you know, they just take people's music and stuff. And it was like, nah,
they thought you were gonna take your music and like give it to other artists and yeah, shit like that.
Okay. And I was just like, nah, I feel like they really fuck with me. And they really fucked with me. And they kind of stayed in contact. I started meeting Interscope and just different, you know, record labels. And then I ended up with Def Jam.
But you didn't, none of the meetings went particularly well in terms of the other labels that you met up with?
I'm not going to say they weren't going well. They loved me. It was just like the company I was keeping. You know, I had like a janky manager at the time. So it was like they could see that. I couldn't see that at the time. I was so young and naive. I just wanted to be signed, you know. So whenever they seen that, they were like, we kind of don't want to be a part. But they always DM'd me. Like, they always would follow me and just be like, yo, just checking in, da da da. hope you're doing amazing. And it was just like, I still ended up with Def Jam because I just realized how real, you know, Tab was.
Mm. Respect. Okay, so that's interesting. What has changed in terms of your music since you signed? Like, have you, do you feel like you're taking things to another level at this point?
I feel like more growth in lyricism.
Uh-huh.
Like, knowing what to talk about, knowing how to, like, use my melodies in the, you know, a right way of right. Making a hit. And shit, my bro Sonic over there, like, he's the one that made the Cash Page sound, you know? Like,
he has some incredible pants on right now, for the record.
Oh, that's Jules. That's Sonic right there.
Okay, yeah. Well, he's got some more normal pants, but okay, so you feel like you've kind of taken it to a different level? Or what were you saying?
Just
I got distracted
up.
By the pants. Yeah.
No, you good. Just growing up. Like, I'm 19,
yeah.
You know? So it's just like, to have the growth of last year, dropping my first EP, and then going into Teenage Fever this year, and everybody being able to relate and going number one first day, like, what the fuck? That makes zero sense. I
right.
just signed last year, you know? So it was like God's blessings, and it's just him shining his light on me.
Definitely. So, okay, when you, because the thing was, is that I seen somebody else say something about you, or maybe I got an email asking me if I wanted to interview you or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And so then I start listening to your music. I go to look at your Instagram. I do the thing that, you know, weird industry guys like me always do, where I check to see if you had DM'd me before.
Mm-hmm.
And you had. And you had been on Melrose, and you had basically been like, hey, like, I'm on Melrose, like, if you want to smoke one or something, let me know. Where were you at, like, at that point? Because that was before the Def Jam conversation, right? Or was that after it, that you were, like, out there on Melrose, like, meeting people and shit?
It was, but I met you with my homie Golden at Rolling Loud, too.
Oh,
he had introduced
us. Right. I forgot about
that.
And
I was
one.
Just like, shit, I'm gonna get an interview with bro. He was like, I got you, bro, I got you. And it was just like, that's when I met you.
Interesting.
But I did
okay.
DM you probably, like, 2 years ago or last year.
Right. Because that was before you ever had the Def Jam conversation mm-hmm. and shit like that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you were just doing the little Melrose, like, trying to meet people type thing?
Hell yeah, like...
That's an important part of life.
Facts. I'm just trying to, like, I don't know, just trying to connect, and I'm still doing that every single day.
For
just,
sure.
Just, you know, knowing how to socialize and, you know, just have genuine energy with people.
Yeah, I mean, you have very, like... strong energy in that regard, like very personable, conversational. A lot of people, like especially artists, are sort of in this weird mental space. It's kind of
what, be in Hollywood or more being like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah,
like,
they just don't know how to hold a conversation. It's weird because you meet so many people that like clearly think that they're destined to become this like pop star or some shit, but then they can barely hold a fucking conversation. And it's like,
yeah, so it's
you
like,
realize this is about like people liking you ultimately at the end of the
power.
Day. Yeah,
and I feel like a lot of people like carry some star power. Like, I feel like Blueface carries star power.
Yeah.
Like, when he walk in the room, you're going to be like, who is that? I feel like if you got that type of energy, you can go places. And I feel like when you socialize with people and people like you, you can go even further, you know?
Yeah, I was just at Walmart with Blueface. And I was, like, just seeing it, I'm like, holy fuck. Like, it almost, like, kind of forgot. Like, this dude's, like, level of fame is nuts. Like,
facts.
It's way beyond.
Everybody want to be a Tatiana.
His music, yes. Oh, my God. We're standing outside the Walmart, and he's just taking pictures with everybody, and these girls pull up, crank Tatiana. I'm like, it's so funny that they just pull up and play his most famous song. Like, he ain't never heard it before. That's so fire.
That song live.
Yeah, that's
the reason why I be doing this dance, that little shit.
Yeah. I seen like an 8-year-old kid doing that for him outside the Walmart,
I'm
too.
I'm crying.
It was beautiful. Okay, so you've just been grinding away and stuff. Like, how do you feel, like what do you feel like you are really bringing to the table in terms of music, or like what makes you special in that regard? Like, what is it?
Charisma. Personality and just like knowing to always keep it chill and be myself.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up not knowing who I was and wanting to be like everybody else. So it was like once I found out what type of energy I carried and the type of voice I had, like voices in speaking terms, not really music, but that too, it was like, shit, you have star power, bro. Like, get in this shit, you know? Like, really, you know, take this shit serious and take advantage of it because you don't get this chance all the time.
Oh, that's real for sure. Okay, but from being in the studio and stuff, from working on your craft, like
we wasn't even in the studio. Me and my bro in college, we recorded everything in a dorm room.
Right. But now that you actually are in like real studios and working with real producers and stuff, do you find yourself feeling like you're really, you know, adding to your craft or like taking it to a different level? Do you look back at those times recording in the dorm and it's like, whoa, I've come a long fucking way in terms of knowing what I'm doing since then?
Nah, we still record in the dorm.
Really?
And we still record at home studios.
Okay.
I just don't like big studios at all. I feel like when you're at home or you're around a company of creatives that have dope equipment and dope energy, that makes the music, that makes hits, you know? And that's what we did in all the dorm rooms, bro. Like, just made super hits.
Definitely, yeah.
Hell yeah, and it's like you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
When you feel comfortable, you can do anything.
And you see that go to extremes, too, because I see rappers, like, sitting next to the engineer with the mic just like that so they don't even have to get up and go in the booth or whatever. That's, like, some new shit.
That's comfortability.
Mad people who are just, like, huge artists who just record in their living room, and it's just... I feel like
that's
they,
the way. That's the way.
It's about that more than like having the booth around you or whatever. Yeah.
Because I feel like when you go into the room, it's like, I mean, the boots are cool, but it's like being able to get that right there, because you're going to have a melody in your head and it's like, damn, we need to cut this right now. So I don't forget it.
Right.
So you just like cut it. And it's easier. Like, I feel like when you go in the booth, it's like you have to sit there and.
Like, more pressure.
Yeah. Because it's like you're fucking up. Right. You're going to continue to fuck up. But I'd rather fuck up, like, in my, you know, my comfort zone. Like, be in a room where I'm comfortable with these people.
Definitely. You punch in or you write beforehand?
I just freestyle. Like, I just kind of, like, just say whatever that comes to my mind.
But you'll, like, go back and forth? Or is it you, like, lay, like, a mumble reference type track and then sort of end up going over it? Or what's your...
I'll do a mumble and then I'll tell bro to delete it. And then I kind of just freestyle. And we'll listen back and we'll be like, if they fuck with it, we'll keep it. If we don't fuck with it, we won't. And usually 9 times out of 10, we keep that hoe and then I just go again. And then I do shit with my voice where I do like ooze. Like, I'm a sampler, so I sample my voice.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what's that?
Like, you know how like you hear old school songs and like different, like Bryson Tiller's music or something? It will be us trying to recreate a old school songs with voice memos or like anything and just put it in the song and put an effect on it.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. Damn, that's crazy. Who have you actually like worked with musically? Because I've seen a few names thrown around that you've collaborated with that hasn't been released, I think, for the most part. Or like who have you been in the studio with?
Recently?
Or just in general, yeah, since you kind of
Only person I've really been in the studio with before COVID was Don. Like Don Tolliver.
Yeah.
And he's like a beast in the studio. Like he goes in like Wayne.
How'd you get connected with him? He's incredible.
My manager, like I literally texted him. I was like, yo, I want to get him with Don. He cool. He like, he's fire. He was like, bet. And shit, we got like the next day. And I remember playing him, you know, some of my unreleased records. He was like, oh yeah, them shit's fire. And I played Euphoria. He was like, oh fuck, I'm getting on that right now.
Really?
He had got on it and it was just over through time. Like shit, he wanted it on his album and Travis hopped on it.
Wow. So you actually, you didn't actually meet Travis? He just hopped on the record separately?
Yeah, I didn't meet Travis at all.
Right.
I want to make a record with Travis, though.
Really? That's interesting. Yeah. That would be, I feel like a lot of young artists now, that's kind of like the holy grail. He's sort of one of the biggest dudes out there right now.
Yeah. I feel like Travis, Drake, anybody. I want to make songs with like Childish Gambino. Would have loved to work with Juice WRLD. You know, like just rest like different type of artists.
Yeah.
I feel like anybody, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, Ariana Grande, whoever.
How do you get into that pop star, female pop star world though? That's a pretty unique category.
I feel like it's just how the tone, like, I don't know. I feel like you set the tone in the music that you want to make.
Definitely. Who were you looking at originally that sort of made you want to be a rapper, both male and female?
I like Drake. I feel like Drake is super vulnerable in his music. And I feel like vulnerability is what eats people alive. Because it's like, damn, are you on my mind right now? Like, I can relate to everything you're saying. Why?
Right.
And I feel like when you can relate, you tap into the artist more because you know exactly what they're talking about. You were there before, you know? And I feel like female-wise, SZA. SZA has the most grooviest, you know, like... feel about her. I feel like I was listening to her on SoundCloud, all her SoundCloud music, and it was like she used to rap and she kind of reminded me of Erykah Badu. And that's, you know, what Dallas holds. And so I was like, damn, this is a dope feeling. And I just kind of want to mix the two in between.
Interesting. Yeah. Is there any female artists you'd want to work with?
All of them. It's not even any in particular. I want to work with anybody that want to work with me. And I just, like, if it makes sense. It has to make sense. It has to sound good.
You have a very diplomatic attitude in the sense. There's a lot of people that are like, oh, yeah, I don't really like anybody's music or I don't want to work with anybody like that. Though,
see, but you don't get nowhere in life being like that, though. I feel like people that are like not even really assholes, it's like the energy you put out is what you get back.
Definitely.
I feel like if you put out good energy, you're going to receive that back. If I feel like if you put out bad energy and you're like, man, fuck that, I don't want to work with these people, that's what you're going to receive back. I had to grow from even wanting to work with writers. Last year, I was like, a writer? The fuck? No, you can't write my story.
Really?
Now it's like, that writer might have one of the biggest records of your fucking life. Take that, you know? Right. So it's like now.
And you can only possibly learn from that person, really.
Exactly. Right? So now it's like, now that I'm getting back into recording, it's like working with writers and working with these other producers and really tapping into what the fuck I can do. You know, I don't know what I can do yet. So it's like, I just want to fulfill everything that I can.
When you say working with writers, though, like, what is that actual experience like for you? Is it typically like you just end up in the studio with somebody you don't even really know? And then they're sort of like giving you, like, do they have reference tracks ready or whatever?
Some of them already be like reference, like they already like have the track recorded. So they just play it. Or some are just like, yo, like, let's listen to some beats. You just tell me like what it make you think about. I'm gonna tell you what it make me think about.
Right.
And it kind of like a collaboration. But I've never really worked with any writers. So I'm about to just now get into it. So I want to see how it feels.
That's interesting. Yeah, I feel like it's kind of crazy, too, because people want to act like the writer thing is just this cheat code that's going to make you explode. And it's like, no, I know a lot of people are working with writers that don't seem like it's, really, it's not really doing anything for them, really.
The hell not taking them off.
Yeah, I don't know. It ain't really changing anything for them. I can't even imagine what their music would sound like if they didn't have a writer.
Not for real.
That's pretty funny. I was watching another interview with you where you just very specifically said that you really don't like Sagittarius's too. So I really wanted to call you out there and find out what's wrong with me and my people.
Yes,
November 24th. Nearly a Scorpio, but no.
Okay, so male Sagittarius, I don't know much.
Like, me neither, because I've never paid attention to this my whole life.
I'm screaming. I feel like female Sagittarius, bro, it's just something about them. It's just delusional. It's not like I hate them. It's just like when it comes to relationships, I just wouldn't date them.
Interesting. So you are, would you describe yourself as more into guys or girls?
Girls, for sure.
Okay.
I feel like whenever I was, you know, like coming up or whatever, talking to dudes, it was just too serious. I've never met a dude that wasn't shit. You know, like I always had like cool, you know, like cool guys around me. But it's like females, bro, I be meeting like the worst females, but I love them.
Really?
I love them.
I guess I could relate to that too.
I'm dead.
Guys know exactly what you're talking about, that you could meet a girl that really ain't about shit and you still like she's a girl. It's amazing. Yeah.
Like, she's an angel.
Would you describe yourself as bi?
I wouldn't even want to label myself yet because it's like, shit, I'm still young. I don't know what I'm going, you know, I don't know where the fuck I'm going to be in 10 years or 15. You know, like, who knows?
But it's not, I feel like for some
people, it's more like I'm just me and I'm attracted to what I'm attracted to.
Right.
You know?
I mean, for some people, like, they just know that they're not into any gender in particular.
Yeah.
For you, it's like a little bit more blurry. Like, you could see yourself being interested in. It's just not where you've kind of leaned so far.
Yeah, it's just more like I've been more on females like ever since, you know, in high school. Because I got my first girlfriend my eighth grade year. And it was like after that, that's all I was talking to.
Really?
Because I remember my eighth grade year. I ended up punching this dude I was talking to in the face.
Really?
Yeah.
And you were like, fuck this.
Because it was just
girls now.
Yeah, because it was just way too much. I had punched him in the face, though, so it was something else. I think I dry punched him in the face, to be
honest
with you.
Everybody knew that you were in a relationship with this other girl in eighth grade? And
it
was no big deal? Because I feel like the world...
It was for sure a big deal. I mean, it wasn't a big deal, but everybody was like, oh, like, they're gay, oh my gosh. And it was just like, then everybody wanted to start coming out like,
oh, really?
I like girls too, and just trying to flirt.
But it's interesting when you say that, because I'm trying to picture somebody being in a gay relationship when I was in eighth grade. And it's like, I don't know what that would have been like. I feel like it would have been like the biggest deal ever.
Oh, for real? Like the fucking talk of the school.
In 98? Yeah, probably would have read differently.
I'm crying, bro. Everybody was just trying to turn gay after that.
Yeah? Really? Damn, it set the school on fire after that.
Nah, for real. I was like, damn. But I think everybody kind of like already knew. Like, I've always been like, I would describe myself as a pretty tomboy.
Right.
Yeah, because it's not like I'm not coming in this hole like, man, what's up, bro? You trying to like just talk? Like, I'm not coming in this hole like trying to be a boy or trying to be a dude. You feel me? Like, I'm coming in this hole really chilling and being myself.
Right. Do you still have a lot of guys like,
yes. I did. My best friend, my ex-best friend just hit me up today talking about, yo, you're in my dream. And I was like, what happened? He was like, bro, like, I don't know. Like, you came up to me, like, by the car and you were like, you've been wanting me and kissed me. I said, damn, that dream does not sound realistic, fam.
Yeah,
like
that, and you should have kept that to yourself,
yeah,
buddy.
Like, that was just, it got super awkward at that point. Because I'm like, why would you, you didn't have to tell me that, fam. Like, I asked you, but it was like, you could have left that part out. Like, he should have just made up a whole nother dream. Because now it makes me not want to talk to you like that.
Oh, yeah. It's so weird when you talk to girls about how hard it is to have, like, platonic male friends. Because, like, as you become cool with them, they just will 100% end up shooting their shot.
Facts.
There's just no underestimating how
I feel
horny,
like, it's the same
are
with females though too. Like, you be having like a bad bitch that's your friend, you'd be like, damn, like one day she'd be looking too good and you'd be like, damn, why have not shot at you?
No, yeah, as a guy, like if I was single, it is kind of hard. Like, if you have like a really good looking person that you really get along with, like, what is the thing that's going to stop you from shooting your shot sooner or later, unless you have a good reason not to, you
exactly
know?
Unless it's just too good of a friendship. But it's like, bro, them be the best ones.
I think that's the problem for dudes though, is that at the end of the day, dudes don't really give a shit about friendship all that much.
Low key, it's just like, it is what it is.
Yeah, they're friends with
it's
their boys.
5-5-5, that's dope.
Or at least they're acting like they are, yeah. Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. You gonna make a wish?
Nah, I'm just into angel numbers. Like, I see them all the time.
Just the repeating numbers?
Yeah, like, I'll see 111, 222, 333. I just see them every day.
Interesting. 2-2. Adam 2-2.
Then you gotta have the other two.
Oh, so I need more twos.
Mm-hmm. To like, well, I mean, 22 is the angel number.
Yeah. I'll take that. I'll take whatever I can get. Okay,
you
so
funny than a hoe.
Have you dated any actual like rappers or anybody that we know, or has it all been more local relationships?
See, I'm more interested in the low key. Mm. Like, you don't even really need followers. I just like pretty, like natural females, and I feel like when they be super chill and don't really care too much about being on the scene and just about their money and their business, that's my type.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
That's interesting.
But yeah, but would I fuck with like some female like girls in like the industry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your type though?
Christina Milian.
Okay. That's very, very specific. Like very
she's
famous
she's
and beautiful.
Pretty.
Like,
that's what I'm saying. She's gorgeous. I feel like that. I don't know. I just love beautiful women.
Right. I respect it. That's crazy, man. It must be.
I know you be, bro. I know you used to be on the hoes. Let me rephrase that.
Well, we work together now, so it's kind of like that. That's a weird part about it, is that me and my girl will be like looking at some girl's Instagram together and being like, "Oh, we should work with her. Like, she's hot, yeah." You know,
that's a lot.
It's weird. It's only. I feel like she'll never get jealous unless the girl looks like if the girl's in the exact same category as her, like similar body type, similar skin tone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like if like
a twin.
Yeah. Like if we're talking about a girl that's like a completely different race or whatever, it's like she don't really. It doesn't like line up
it
for her to be
her.
Jealous of it because it's just like a completely different category.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Like you getting like you got your cake and you eating it too type shit.
Literally. She's 9 months pregnant right now, so there's a whole lot of cake. So you're working on an album?
I'm just working in general.
Okay.
Like, since I just dropped my project, I just been working and just trying to, like, figure out what is the next move besides, like, getting content. I feel like when you actually focus on what you're supposed to do, like, it just fucks up your whole mind, bro.
Because
it fucked up my mind, my first EP. I was like, damn, this EP is called Park Car Convos. I have to think about shit you'll talk about in the car. And it's like, bro, you can talk about anything in the fucking car. Like, just make music.
Right. Parked car convos. That when I first like heard that, it really reminded me of like a high school type vibe, because there's so many times in your life in high school where you just like have to conduct your business in the car because you don't really have like a house or an apartment yet. Yeah.
Niggas got to smoke in a car, drink in a car.
Yeah, definitely.
Just sit there out in the like parking lot.
Riding bikes, it's always weird when you see people that are like in like a public park sitting on a bench together, but they clearly, I've over the years seen people like really close to like actually fucking in public. Well, I've definitely seen people fuck in public too, but like, you know, like when you could tell that these are like two like kids who basically are like, they're just all over each other because they don't have anywhere else to go, but they're just like doing it on a public bench. It happened to me the other day. I rolled up on these fucking, we were riding at this college and I rounded this corner and this girl was like straddling a dude and they're just like making out. And I just like immediately, damn. I felt like I had walked in on something I wasn't supposed to be in. I turned right around. I'm like, see, Jesus Christ.
It's the PDA for me. I just, like, I just can't do all that in, you know, public. I feel like kissing on the cheek or like, it has to be like slight hugging. I don't feel like everybody should be just caked up. Yeah. And I feel like it's just weird sometimes.
I feel like that was my problem when I was single, is I would be like meeting random girls and like just going out with them, and all of a sudden we're like holding hands and shit. Like I just didn't have that like proper filter in my head of like, no, this is things, these are things you do not do with somebody you just met.
What, holding hands?
Yeah, you put a couple of beers in me, it was just out the window.
You could start turning into a whole different person.
Kind of. Okay, anything else we need to know about? What do we got to say before we wrap the Cash Page interview part one? I feel like there'll be more to come.
Nah, for sure. For sure. Niggas got to have a geeked one. We got to have a hot box one. Like, where we get high as hell and see, like, who can get the highest or something.
Who would you want there? Who do you want to smoke with?
Seth Rogen, Snoop Dogg, and Mike Epps. Really? I feel like that would be the funniest hot box session ever.
All people like in their 40s or 50s, which is interesting. He didn't go with anybody younger.
But Mike Epps is funny and he don't even try to be.
Right.
I feel like he'll just be like, oh, hell no. And everybody just started laughing. Like, he just goofy. I'm trying not to laugh right now thinking about it.
That's interesting. You know, it's funny too, because like a lot of older people just stop like allowing the world to know that they smoke weed. Because like,
as an artist, some people, like, they don't want you to.
I guess this late into the interview, I'll just say it, that, like, one time I linked up with Joe Budden, and there was just Backwoods on the table, and I was just like, you smoke Backwoods? And he's like, is that weird? And I'm like, no, it's not weird at all. It's just, it's weird because it's you, bro. Like, I'm like, that's what everybody else
smokes. I can't even see him smoking. Like, I can't see Drake smoking either.
But you know, no, Drake, because you've seen him with the little spliff. He's always talking about spliffs, and you see him with like a little spliff in like a video of him like walking around the house.
Spliffs
and shit.
Hit too hard. Like, bro, out there, his shit was low key hidden. I was just trying not to choke.
For real?
I feel like you go to Miami, bro, they be having like grab a leaf and they shit.
You put the Fronto in there, it's crazy, yeah.
Bro, throat burning.
It puts like smell a weird like cloud over your day when you've got the Fronto really pumping through your lungs because that shit is so like.
And it smells like cigarettes sometimes too.
I love the Fronto, but I never like get it. But like my friends from like my friend Black Dave from New York, he rolls the best Fronto spliffs. God, every time I hang out with him, I just get fully. I stop rolling anything myself, and I'll just be like, "Oh, Dave, you want to roll something up?" Just like slide it over to him. Like,
he'd be fully loaded because them hoes hit just like hemp wraps.
Oh yeah. The hemp wraps, you know, that's what they have to do for a lot of like the pre-rolled blunts now, is that they have like a hemp thing that like feels kind of like tobacco, and that's what they wrap it in. I've gotten some of these from companies.
I just had the highest moment ever.
It seems like a pre-rolled blunt, but it's a fucking hemp leaf.
But when you did this, bro, I didn't know if you were looking at me because you're high, or if I was looking at you because I'm high.
I was looking at you because I'm talking to you.
Okay. All I see, you did this, you were like, I was like, I've never seen nobody do that shit before, so I didn't know if that was like one of your high moments or what.
Sometimes I feel like I don't do enough eye contact on the podcast, but like, then I start to overthink it. Like, how much eye contact am I supposed to be doing? One time I had a dude freak out on me because I like shook his hand like to meet him, but like I didn't really like look at him, and then he's like, man, what is that? Like, you introduced yourself to somebody, but you didn't even like have eye contact with me. I'm like. But it was like in the middle of this long ass live stream, and he had no idea like how mentally tortured I was at this point. This might have been the same day that Boonk passed out on the live stream.
Damn, just, he passed out?
Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
Smacked his head on the wall. I noticed the other day, it was 6 million views.
Was he with a female in the hotel bed or something?
No, he was sitting there doing the interview, and then when he got up to leave, he went and smacked his forehead on the wall.
Damn.
He hates being called Boonk now. He wants to be called John Gabbana. What up, John Gabbana?
You lit.
You missed the Boonk era. You were too young.
No, I remember the Boonk era. I just wasn't paying attention to it as much.
Because
I was just like, damn, like, he not in trouble? Like,
Boonk? No, yeah. That was a weird one. Because he, like, started out just, like, stealing shit. And then he eventually kind of started to fake
stealing
shit.
And
then he just
stopped,
yeah.
Exactly. And it was just like, I just couldn't keep up with the hype. Around my era, I was just pretty much focused on what the fuck was next.
Do you feel...
And weed.
Okay, but like when it comes to like social media and shit like that, do you ever feel like you're sort of incentivized to do some goofy ass shit to get popping? Or do you feel like very confident in just being yourself in terms of how you present yourself on social media or otherwise?
So what if I worded that like, if you are a goofy person,
Oh, well, then that's, I mean, hey.
Yeah, like, I be corny as fuck sometimes. I post corny shit. So it's like, if that's what y'all, you know, attracted to and y'all fuck with that, you know.
But you ain't doing skits yet, are you?
No, I'm not doing skits.
I've seen rappers start doing skits. The label got a gun to their head or something. I'm like, I know you don't want to be doing this.
Nah, like, not no fucking skits. I just did a short film for my album.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, trying to turn it into a TV show, get it picked up by Netflix or something.
Oh, that would be lit.
I like shit like that.
What about beefing with some other rappers?
Beefing? It just doesn't.
That's guaranteed people pay attention to you right there.
Facts.
It's not
worth it. Once you start beefing, everybody wants to know why y'all are beefing. Are y'all going to fight? Or just like, what is it? You know, like, I just feel like beefing's not it. I'm unproblematic.
If you want to stage a beef, it would be great if you fake beefed with a girl and then dated her. Or fake dated her.
I feel like people would just think I was weird if I did some shit like that. They'll be like,
yeah,
nah, that's not it. Because Twitter, like, you have to understand, Twitter is a different type of time now. Like, it's cancel culture, and then it's just like, it was no point of this. Like, people that don't really care, like the Debbie Downer,
yeah, like, side. Yo, you know what I see people getting accused of now is like the fake dating, like fake gay queer baiting type stuff. Like, they'll be really mad at a girl for like pretending to date another girl if they're not really actually like that.
Who did that?
I've seen YouTuber girls do it. Not in hip hop so much.
I've never seen that shit on YouTube.
I don't know.
That just makes me think of like some Tumblr era.
You were a Tumblr girl. That makes sense.
I fuck with Tumblr. I feel like Frank Ocean made me fuck with Tumblr.
You don't still look at Tumblr, do you really?
I'm not going to say I don't look at it, but I want to bring it back in a sense. Like, we take like disposable film pictures and shit of like the sky or just us, and just like, we'll post it on some shit like that. I feel like Tumblr and MySpace need to come back.
I wonder if anybody could have like a pop in Tumblr in 2020, or maybe they do and I just don't know about it.
Let's do it. We going to do it.
That whole aesthetic of just being like a person who's like known because they would curate the right random images on their Tumblr.
Mm-hmm. It has to be some, I don't know, it has to be like some aesthetic shit, like take a picture of your shoes or some shit. Swag.
But that's the number one thing that, like, I heard somebody say that, like, that's what girls do when they get their first cameras. They start taking pictures of their feet.
Yeah, you and take a picture of your feet or, like,
your hand. I have seen that a lot, yeah. Like, you just look down at your feet and you're like, damn, I got feet.
I'm screaming. Nah, for real, they be together and shit.
Get a photo of these size 8s.
I just got some shoes today. These hoes fire.
Those are fancy. They still got the tag on the bottom, too.
Hey.
It's lit. What are those?
Balenciagas
or something?
Nah, Sandro.
Sandro? I don't even know about that.
Shit, he just put me on today. It was like some shit in Paris.
Really?
Shit was expensive.
How much?
That's my first time spending like $1,200 on some clothes, bro.
Jeez. $1,200 on shoes?
Nah, it was, I think the shoe was probably like $300 or something. Okay. But it was like, it was this jacket and there was these jeans. And then I had like this suede, like, sweater. It was crazy as fuck. And wow. I bought some other shoes.
So are you like, how's that going? Like having some money to buy some shit?
It's good, but at the same time, I love saving money too. But it's like, I feel like if you have the mentality that you're going to always make it back, spending is not a problem. But it has to be spent wisely. But you're going to have your dumb moments where you're like, fuck this. Let's get fucked up. Let's turn them buying a pound or buying bottles. Like, you're going to have that moment.
You don't got to buy a pound. Just get somebody to give you it.
True. But at the same time, it's like, I like supporting too.
Oh, that's
but
true.
It's like,
support
if I can
your local
get,
grower.
Exactly. If you can get the free weed, for sure. But you're only going to give me that free weed because I supported you in the past, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah. For sure. At a certain point, you just got to start, just keep buying weed, because otherwise, like, I hate just doing all the networking to get free weed. It's not worth it.
Yeah, bro. Because people be want to be super cool. Like, damn, bro, I was just trying to get some weed and you trying to be my best friend. And it's like.
The best feeling, though, is when you're at like Rolling Loud and you end up leaving with like a backpack full of like
West Coast Cure.
Full of eighths and shit. And it's like, God damn, I got like a half a pound in all these containers.
Bro, West Coast Cure literally gave me like a backpack on my birthday. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a box full of like 30 cans of weed.
Yeah.
And I was so fucking loaded.
It feels so much better than if you were to just have that in a bag.
Mm-hmm. And the bags be clean too. You need some bags. You got some backpacks?
No. We're actually working on that.
That should be fire.
Bags. Bags is like a new thing. We've done 5 million t-shirts and hoodies and whatnot, but
that's just the wave.
We got to get the bag dance. If you want to do yourself a favor when you get home, search Brian Pumper the bag dance.
Well, he has a backpack on?
No, it's just a dance called the bag dance that he does. It's the fucking funniest thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
I'm gonna tap in.
I hate YouTube. I would love to play that right now.
On YouTube, I used to look up like Bigfoot in like Loch Ness Monster and see if aliens were real.
That's like early wormhole that you fell into. That's so funny.
Every single time I see a fucking bright ass star, I'd be like, guys, it's a shooting star. They're like, Cash, I think that's a plane.
Like, yeah. I fucking wish, right? Don't bring me back down to earth, guys. Come on. Enable my artistic vision.
Right?
Fuck.
I'm trying to dream big.
Okay, so what do you want them to do? Tell them what to do now that they're done watching this interview.
Man, y'all are watching, you know, Cash Page and Adam 22 on No Jumper right now. I want y'all to keep being you, keep being a cool kid, and just stay true, man. Many blessings to everybody. You know what I'm saying?
And follow her on Instagram and whatnot.
Facts. Follow me on Instagram. I don't really be caring, but yeah, follow me on Instagram and stream my fucking music.
K-A-A.
K-A-A-S-H-P-A-I-G-E. Cash Page.
You always had the two A's or?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like Cash means kill all arrogance, stop hatred.
Oh, so that's not your government.
Mm-mm. My real name is Kyla.
Okay.
Kyla Page.
Okay. How'd you end up with that name, though? When did that come into the picture?
I used to throw parties. I used to call myself Cash My Checks.
Mm.
And so it was like, you can't call yourself Cash because that's basic. You need a star name. So I used my middle name and just put it right by Cash.
Oh, there it is. Cash. Does that mean anything to you, the Juicy J skit where he says Cash like 5 million times?
I feel like when artists say Cash in their songs, like, it's so teed. Like, I'd be like, they're talking about. Like, I'd be hearing like Playboi Carti's my like, Cash. I'd be like, hey.
That's me.
Hey, yeah, right.
He's saying my name in the baby voice.
Nah, for real.
No, but I gotta play you this Juicy J skit once we're done this, where he's like, motherfucker, call me on the phone. What? Cash. Who's this? Cash.
For real?
Yeah.
I wanna hear that shit. All right. That shit sound live. It's
that's
gonna
what
be
we're
my
doing
new
after
anthem.
This. Yep.
Bet.
Cash Page, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, like, comment, subscribe, nojumper.com if you want to support. Appreciate y'all.